of a push you give those words. And they travel, the words travel through different heichalas, different divisions in the higher world. There are different chambers, divisions, levels of worlds. And those heichalas, Shari heichalas hatfila, there are names that they have. Zelim alamizel, umalochim hanimtsoim beichalas elu. Now each of those heichalas, each of those spiritual levels and worlds are manned by malachim. There are malachim that are stationed in different heichalas. And the Zohar says, Shehem mekabli hatfilas. And they receive our tefillas. Shehem mekabli hatfilas. Kedei lahaloisim al kadosh baruch. And those malachim are responsible for passing our tefillas along higher and higher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this of course sounds very strange to us. We all believe that we have a direct hookup. So what's the inyan here of malachim getting involved in our tefillas? That's a question. Which the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh addresses over here. The truth is it would require an entire long limud regarding what Bechlal HaMalach is, and why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have like these helpers, so to speak? Obviously he doesn't need any help. But the Zohar says, "Mokom Achav Ezom Beforotam HaMalachim El Yoinim Zalem Alam Yizeh," and these malachim are specified in the Zohar HaKadosh higher and higher. HaMalam is Bakosh Yisrael Ma'ilu. Adi yesh malach elyon mikulam shukemoso kishir mahalach tov kubshone. This is very, obviously a very deep sod over here. So finally, when you get to the highest malach, this malach is so great. It's 500, it's sheer, it's height. Okay, we're not talking about something physical. It's tov kubshone. It's 500 years. It goes back to the Gemara. He brings in the bottom from Chagiga about how tall Adam Marishan was when he was created. These numbers mean 500, and what is that? Shuha maybe it's atfilas akashos nekesh baruchas. No, there's this malach that is described as being so tall, meaning that it somehow extends or reaches this malach. He makes a connection between this world and the other world. So that sheer of Tav Kuf Shana, whatever that is, that's also a very big conversation. That sheer is the sheer from heaven to earth. So what we're told here in the Zohar Kodesh is that our tefillahs go through these heichalas of the malachim until finally the tefillah is handed over to this gigantic malach, which doesn't mean anything physical, chas v'chalila, some tremendous koach that slips it under Kadosh Baruch Hu's door, and so kacha, that's the tahalich, milamata lamala. So the Baal Shem HaKadosh, let's go now into the text. So kozbezo shayechol satfilah is alamala mizem alochem kavli atfilas yesh malash kamos tokuv shonuchu v'yesh lohavin. So Baal Shem asks our question: Ha Hashem is baruch maloichol aritz kavaydai. Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Now, he's not living like in some faraway, you know, some faraway palace or something. This Indian of like turning our eyes to face heaven. Okay, there's a reason for that too. What that means to look at the sky, maybe for some hisarvus, but it's not that Hashem lives in some distant universe. Hashem's baruch melechol aretz kavod. Hashem's glory fills all worlds. And leis also ponimine. There is no place that is without him. Everything's Hashem's everywhere. V'mokam shaldim sham, v'mokam shaldim sham kvar deis baruch motzli. And wherever the person is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. V'im kein, lomali, sheyikubal atfila, deyam alochim, sheyelchum heichel heichel. So what do I need this whole train, this whole setup? With the malachim going from one heichel, another heichel, another heichel. What do you need this for? V'yesh lomer. Da Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now we need to understand what does this mean in our avoda. Every time the Baal Shem Tov takes one of these chazals, he directs us to our inner lives, what's happening within us. There's a saying from the Kotzka Susi Elena that the distance from the mind to the heart is 500 shana. It's the same shiur. That's the distance from the mind to the heart. So the Baal Shem HaKadosh explains that the Kadosh Baruch Hu v'yishlam the Kadosh Baruch Hu osa zeh kedei she'yero aloi la'odim shu'u rachak. Hashem made us in such a way, and He created the world in such a way, where we should feel this, that there's a great distance. And that He did a great job with that. Not that He needs any of our askamas, but that we should feel, we sense that there's a tremendous distance. What Kotzka was talking about is the Inyan is not space travel. It's not about going in a rocket and flying up somewhere to reach Hashem. It's within yourself, from your own mind, of what you might know and some information that you have, to be able to feel that in your heart, that it's real. That's this distance of Tav Kuf, 500. Hashem did this so that it would feel, it would seem to a person that he's far away. So that he would make an effort. And he would feel that it requires an effort. To draw near. Now this marshal is going to be familiar to all of you. It's been mentioned, it's been taught over and over, it's become very well known. The place in the Svarma Kedoshim where it's most often quoted is in the Debamach and Ephraim, in the Haftarah for Pashas Kiso, the Baal Shem's grandson. Marshal Sha'amah Kedem Tkiya Shaifa, and there are variations that from one sefer to the next, how the marshal, some of the details of the marshal, but the basic marshal is the same. That the Baal Shem would say before Tkiyas Shofar. Because the Indian of the Shofar in the Zohar Kaddish, the sound of the Shofar in the Zohar Kaddish is our effort to be able to cross the distance between heaven and earth. And that where we feel that our calling out and that our words sometimes fall short. So Hashem gave us this amazing thing called the shofar, and this sound of the shofar has the most amazing koach to carry all of the tefillos of the year. Way beyond. That scream of the shofar takes all the kitlach, everything gets it through. So, before Tkiya Shofar, the Baal Shem would say this marshal. Now, by the tzaddikim, it's an interesting thing. Many of the tzaddikim, when they would speak, and we know this from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh as well, but many, many of the tzaddikim, when it came to certain special times of the year, especially Tkiya Shofar, they wouldn't say every year a different drasha. You have to do that now, because you have to try to prevent the animal from falling asleep and so on. But what they would do is they would say the exact same thing every year as part of the Havaida. The marshal wasn't like an Indian of some sort of a drosha, something interesting. It was part of the Havaida. So the Baal Shem would say this marshal before the Kishar. Shahi Melech Echad Chacham Gadol, there was a great wise king. Vosav Achizis Enayim Chai Meisim Gedolim Sha'arim. So by now it should already sound familiar to most of you. And the king was a great sorcerer. He was a great expert in magic. And he was able to create images with Achizas Einayim, by the use of some sort of magic, images of walls and towers and gates. And also it says with the, what's it called, they used to have like the water they would put moats. So it says in some places he created these images. And he commanded that all those who are loyal and faithful, that they should come to him, that they should come to the palace, they should come see him in the palace. And he commanded that, now here it's a little bit different, he commanded to spread out, to put by every shahr, Isis, great treasures from his royal treasury. And so this is an incentive. But it was very, 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 it was very intimidating to be able to get past all of these walls and these towers, to be able to climb and to get past, and especially the other description where there are moats and there are animals and all kinds of scary things, to be able to finally get through. And along the way you had these incentives with the ISIS, with different ISIS, which the devil doesn't bring down the ISIS, but you had these, you have the, but it was very, very hard. So there were those who they made it to the first gate, or through the first gate, they made it there, and they were rewarded, and they took the money that was waiting over there for those who were brave enough and strong enough to make it to that point. And then they returned, they couldn't go any further. And then there were gates that were further along, and those who were able to make it were able to get more from the Eitzes HaMalach as they went along. Ad shebno yedido, until finally there was only one left. His son, his friend, meaning the same person, his son, his friend, meaning his yedid nefesh, his son. Yedid nefesh of Harachman. His father, his friend. So ad shebno yedido, until his son, his friend, his ametz ma'oid, Shalech Davke Elav HaMelech. He was the only one that wasn't satisfied with the oitzus, with the money, with the gifts that were planted along the way. He was the only one that, for him, that was not the objective, the oitzus of the king. That wasn't the objective. For him, it was one thing, was to get to the king, to get to his father, because that's the difference. The difference is that the king is his father. So Avinu Malkeinu, and that's the difference. So his ametz ma'od she'elach davke elaviv ha'melech. So then an amazing thing happened. Now in the moshel that's brought down in the Degel, so it became at that last point, It seemed absolutely impossible to get cross over to get to the palace. Along the way, it was crazy hard, crazy, crazy hard. But he made it. But now it came to a point where it just wasn't possible. And at that point, there was nothing to do. And the one who was there, some prime minister or something, turned back. And the son of the king just gave a scream. That's the shofar. He just gave a scream. And what happened was, when he gave this scream, Abba, when he called out Abba, Ozra she'ein shum achitza mafsik ben leben aviv. Then when he opened his eyes after giving this scream, after blowing the shofar, he turns around and he sees the whole thing was done, was magic, was nothing, it was garnished. Achitza zeinayim, it was just make believe. He was in some sort of a make-believe contest. And there was no mechitz at all. Shein shum mechitz ha-mafsik ben levenoveh. Ka'akol haya achiz ha-senayim. Ha'akol haya achiz ha-senayim. Everything that seems to be in the way between you and Hashem is achiz ha-senayim. Zeu. Achiz ha-senayim. It's just an image. It's a virtual reality or something. it's the shum davar. The shum davar. But it seems like it's impossible to get there. It seems like you see what the Baal Shem is doing with this, with the piece from the Zohar Kaddish. All the malachim and all the worlds and all the distance between here and Shemayim, like, you know, different signs, 1,000 light years to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of those signs, and the directions and the arrows and what it says on the ways and everything, how far it is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much time you have left, you know. And then it gets worse, because sometimes, you know, when you use the ways, the ways is a gewaldig thing, changed my life, mama changed my life. But sometimes, you know, it happens, so you start off and you're all excited, it says like 42 minutes, like, to get to wherever you have to go. There, it's not bad, it usually takes 45, 42, it's very good. But then as you go along, it's like it stays at 42 the whole time, it's interesting. And then it says something like, it apologizes, it's very polite, it says, oh, there's like something. Then it says like 48, an hour and 12. And you think, I thought I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer and it's further away. So you feel like that. That's Nachizus and I. This whole thing with the Malachim, it's a ruse. It's Nachizus and I. That's what Hashem is saying, a very radical thing. He says, Rasha ain't shum mechitza mavsi ben levinov, kakol hoy achizus and I. Everything's Nachizus and I. Kar ve'lach adav ma'bifich v'lovov. He's right here. Imcha, idcha, etzlecha, everywhere. Va'nimshal muvan. And the nimshal is understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistata v'kama levushna mechitzas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself, seems, in kama levushna mechitzas, in many different garments, and hides behind different walls. Hine is a oimed acha kosleinu, mashgiach menach alonis metzitz menach harach. Hashem is hiding behind a wall. And that koisel, that wall, he needs the oimed acha koslein, and makes it seem that he's completely inaccessible. But it's interesting, the word koisel, I once explained to you, the oisius of koisel is tuchal. Is that you? It means tuchal means you can. Koisel says, the koisel, the wall says you can't go. And the same letters of Kaisel is the word Tuchal, Teachal. But you feel that you can't. You feel that there's Mamish a Kaisel. Like when Yaakov and Vayetziyakov, where Rashi brings down there, that he came, Vayivka Mamakam, he felt there was like a wall, that he couldn't go any further. So that's how it feels. That he's Mistata Mekam Levushim, Bekam Levushim Mechitzis. But our minds, in our heads, we know that it says all over Tanakh, and we say every word in davening is Malach Alavitz Kavoida. That Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Hashem is everywhere, so we know that. In our heads, we know that, but in our hearts, we don't feel that, because you know why? Because there's a koisel between. Because there's 500 light years between the head, the mind, and the heart. There's such a distance between the mind and the heart. It's not really far at all. It's nothing, because Hashem is everywhere. But the feeling that one has, and Hashem set up the world in such a way, so you have to have a malach that goes from here, the malach goes and passes into the kriddle along to there, and then the malach goes to the other one. And everybody thinks of it there being these gates, and even in our heads we think of it like a medag psach shei shemayim l'tzilosan. So you're thinking of, you know, what came Sasha. So that you know, it's like this whole thing far away, and that there's this big palace, and there are gates getting through. How do I get through? You don't think that the Baruch Shalom is sitting on top of your head. It feels like it's Psach Shari Shemayim. Where's Shari Shemayim? Is someplace. And Hashem is sitting far, far away with these books, and he's looking in these books, and he's got your name there, and he says, ooh, what's Santa going to give you this year, or not give you? It's all Achizus Einayim. Achizus Einayim. That's the test to see if you're a son of the king, if you're Stamishlaka. That's the test. That's why the king created this. To see who's Beno Yedido. who is his son, and not only his son, but his dear friend, who is not distracted by any of the oitzus along the way. Whatever those oitzus are, he's not distracted by the oitzus. He has one objective, he has one goal, and that's Avinu Malkein. That's why after all of the davening, the whole Elul, the whole Slichus Nesh Hashanah, and the whole Sesame Tshuva and Yom Kippur, with all of the words, and all of the talk of Malachim, and all of the Hecholos, and all of the gates, and all of the chambers, and everything else that's going on, at the end, at the very end, you're standing at the last wall by Ne'ila, and you just start to scream out, Abba. That's what's going on. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akin, Hashem Echad. And you say, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Right? How many times? Seven times, like when they surrounded Yericho, the wall, right? And then what happened by Yericho to bring the wall down? They blew the shofar, and all the walls came down. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and then Tkiyah, one Tkiyah. That's what happens by Ne'ilah. One Tkiyah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was smiling, because all the stuff that we thought that was so that we were so far away, we need the whole Elul, I need all of these things to say, you need all of the whole Machzer and all this stuff, and we have to Shlok Kaparis and get attached to the Palace, all the different things, the Baruch Shlomo songs, just all of this was only to bring you that you'd be able to give one Shrai, Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad, and to bring the wall down. And the Shofar is what brings it completely through. The minute that we have to blow the shofar at the end of everything.
I did a film many years ago for Chabad.
You filmed this?
This subject for Chabad. They were giving me this stuff 10 years ago, and one thing the rabbi said, which was very nice, was Ha'olam. The word for the world means to hide, and Hashem hid himself in the world so we could spend our life.
Mm-hmm. Olam is the word for Helim. Right. So all of that is Achizah Zinayim. All that is Achizah Zinayim.
What's difficult for me on this is that it, Krishna's Levi that I happened to do last week in the Shir was on the same topic. His distance being created or felt or emphasized in order to motivate you to say, oh, it's so far, let me try harder. But you know, oftentimes, the more we find it, try harder, it's rather than motivate, because the whole idea is to motivate.
It discourages.
Yeah. Does it, right? Does that, right?
That's the difference between the difference between going to camp, going to summer camp or going to West Point, I guess. Especially in our generation, we West Point wouldn't work for us. And many times we feel discouraged because of the I was talking to a bacher last week that grew up here in America and he's now in the Israeli army, and he was describing to me some of the stuff that they had to go through in the army. I wouldn't last 15 minutes. And it's unbelievable, and you think that maybe it gets easier as it goes along. He said the last day before they were going to give them the whole, the kibbutz, and give them their things and whatever, the whole ceremony. The last day, so it was the absolute biggest killer. The last day. Just like in the mashal. It's supposed to get easier. No. And people get discouraged. The good thing is, of course, is that for every effort you make, you get an oitzah. You see that, right? For every effort that you make, you pick up something. You get rewarded for everything. Any effort that we make, lo yis'aved, the Zohar says, nothing is lost. Hashem pays attention to the tiniest little effort that a Jew makes. And there's an Eitzah HaMelech, and he has. You pick up something, whether this world you get or the next world, but you get something. But to make it past the big mechitza, sometimes you feel, very often, you feel that it's very discouraging. And that the harder you try, the bigger the mechitza.
What's the mashal between the summer camp and the West Point? I didn't follow that.
So you obviously never went to camp at the West Point.
Well, I know
so
one
I never went to West Point.
I know
but
one
I,
is
I
nice and one is brutal, but how did that match up?
I'm only using that is to say that the way to make a distinction, like they say, between the boys and the men.
Right.
That summer camp is easy, it's fun. It might be a little bit less comfortable than being home with mommy, but then you have something like West Point, and that's really, you can get very discouraged and just pack up and leave after a day or two, right?
So life is no camp,
no. So
it's
in
West Point.
Right, it's West Point. The challenges and the walls and the difficulties, the same way when they, in these places, like in the Army, or in a place like West Point, I only know from what I read, I don't know. How it actually is, all this stuff, but that you have to go through a lot of training and testing in order to be able to, in order to be able to reach the point that where you want to get to. Mashiach camp is not the case when it's when there's a camp that was created for your pleasure. So since, especially now at times, we believe that we were created for pleasure. Oh, we were created for pleasure. The Ramchal says at the beginning of the Sharm, the pleasure of Az Tisani Galasha. We were created for the pleasure of having a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but many people feel that we were created for other pleasures. So that's why you want to, you'd rather, you know, you'd be much more comfortable being in a nice camp, in a summer camp. Much more comfortable. I remember once when I was with my father, and this is when I was a little kid, and we were waiting for the bus. I was going to camp, and there were two or three fathers that were standing with their kids, and they were talking about how they went to Camp Tarvadas or Camp this or Camp that like 50 years before, and they were trying to give encouragement to their kids. And one of them asked my father, "What camp did you ever go to camp?"
So
my father said, I never went to camp. So there was somebody that was standing there that knew my father, and he went over and he said he went to a different type of a camp. There are different kind of camps, you know. And then one is for pleasure and the other is for torture. And what's hard is that you often feel that, like Binyamin is saying, we feel discouraged because it seems, if you, let's put it this way. The way that the son was able to get to his father, the prince was able to get to the king, is because he never ever lost focus of what the objective is. Those who lose that focus and instead they become distracted by the oitzvahs and different things along the way, so it's very, very hard for them to make it to the end. The only way to make it to the end is when you're not deterred and distracted, and you have that's your absolute goal, and you remain fixed on that goal. And that's what Hashem Yisbarach wants us to do. Again, not to say that there aren't all the rewards along the way. There are many, many different programs. That's what it means, that there are all these different heichalos, these different levels, and where our tefillahs go. There are different levels. And you could be a, I don't know what the order is, but you could be a yellow belt or a blue belt, and you could be a third degree black belt. I don't know if that's the highest thing. But you could be, there are different madrigas. And there are different hecholos of where a person takes his avoda in this world. But in order to be able to get to the king, you have to be very, very determined. And that's the marshal of David. You following? That's the marshal of West Point, and that's the marshal of in the army. It's obviously just a silly marshal, but it's a marshal of determination. My wife read this book 2 years ago on this Navy SEALs, you know, and she was telling over to me some of the stuff these guys go through. It's like, how a person can make it through such a thing. I mean, physically and mentally and everything that these guys go through. I'd like to get one of these guys to be in the security for the shul. That would be a good thing. When I go to yeshiva, they have all these security guys, and whenever everybody's walking through, and every now and then they look up from the like everybody's walking through, and Hey, how you doing?
There's the security.
You got one of these guys. These are tough guys. They're tough guys. They worked hard. But it's true. And nowadays, you don't have to have like any kind of a major moat to prevent people from going further. It could be like somebody just insults you. Somebody insults you. A friend of mine just told me that, he's not from New York, but he's telling me that where he lives, that they tried to start a new Minion, and there's this guy that was all involved in making the Minion, and they got the Minion going, and he was expecting to be the first Shabbos to be the Daven Kabbalah Shabbos. Uh-huh. But instead they gave it to another guy, because the other guy has Yahrzeit site that week, and they gave it to the other guy. It was the first, the guy was working for months to get the shul up and going, and it was the first Friday night, and the guy that was working hard expected to get Kabbalah Shabbos. That was the prize. And they gave it to the other guy with the outside. And he left the shul. He's gone.
Start another one.
Oh, those guys always do that. They're always good at starting shuls, but they generally don't last. They don't last because they want the oitzer. They get the oitzer, whatever they have. If they don't get the oitzer, bye-bye. They disappear. So, now we're very easily deterred from getting to the objective. Now, the muscle of this guy is that he wanted to start a minion. He wanted to be involved, and he put all those cards. He probably spent money too and do all of this stuff. And he picked up the Siddurim and the Chumash. Who knows? You know, whatever he did, and he got the place, and he was like, he was the guy. So that's it. Like he came to a Kabbalah Shabbos and he was insulted, and that's it. He turned back. The journey was over. But it sounds like it sounds pathetic, but we do that stuff. We do feel all of us do that stuff all the time, in different ways. We do it all the time. So the Balsam is saying that because Baruch Hu made a world, it's not only for Navy SEALs, but it's not Vaidah. It's not Vaidah. And it feels like all these Hechalis and all these Mechitas and all these walls and all these moats and everything. And it's very easy to get discouraged. But something's in the way.
It had to be this way so there would be a reward in life, no?
It had to be this way, not just that there should be a reward, not only for a reward, but so that there should be a deep and meaningful relationship. And that's something I've been talking about a lot over the past 2 or 3 years. Because on the one hand, we don't want it to be difficulties, and we want it to be easy for our children and for ourselves. We would like it to be. But on the other hand, it's very hard to really make men when there are no challenges and no difficulties. And that's the paradox of the times that we're living in, really, because life is so good, Baruch Hashem, and it's never been easier. It's never been better. Physical life, it's never been better. But you see that Hashem Shabbat has a way of different ways that now it's more emotional. The lachats, the walls used to be more physical walls, like Cossacks and pogroms, you know, and now the walls are like anxiety. All this stuff, depression, anxiety, it's much more internal. The walls are much more internal, which means we're getting closer to the end zone. Because the emes is that all of this stuff is just nachiz zainai. And it's getting less physical, it's becoming more spiritual. The minyas are much more spiritual than physical now. It used to be that the minyas were very, very physical. Mostly the minyas were physical in the old days. You understand, the obstructions were mostly physical. Poverty and yeah, the whole business. It was physically. It was the minyas were. It was so hard. The physical minyas. Nowadays, my mother always likes to tell us how in the winter she had to cross over the frozen lake. I don't know. We were Munkach, so we didn't go all the way into Munkach. But I don't know. My mother said that they had to walk on the ice to get to this. They had to walk very, very far. All right, her sister said it wasn't so far, but whatever it is, there was something to get to school, like, you know. Now the parents are all protesting, and they're if the bus stops two blocks away instead of on your corner, right? So, when we try to talk to the kids about our challenges, they roll their eyes, and they say, "What do you know about service?" What do you know about Sarah? So I'm only able to use my what's that game they all play for?
Fortnite.
I can, my parents, I'm only allowed to be on Fortnite for 3 hours a night. You know what that means? What kind of suffering that is? To be only Fortnite for 3 hours a night instead of my friends are all 7 hours. I'm only 3 hours a night. I don't know what this game is, but a lot of parents are talking to me about this Fortnite. And whatever it is, somebody must be making a lot of money over that thing. But it's got everybody crazy. But these are the tzaras. But the tzaras now are internal. Can you imagine talking to old Jews from from those days, and that their greatest sorrow would be that they weren't able to play for another hour? My father said that on the way home from Cheder, they had to always go in groups of five and had to walk each other home because there were schotzim along the way that would beat the living daylights out of them. Especially when it came to the chagim, you know, by Pesach to their holidays. My father said it was blood. I'm not talking about the 1500s. I'm talking about 1925, 1930. Blood. Just to get to school. First with the Scots. My father always likes to tell the story because there was one guy in his chevra that was short. My father said he had payers down to the, like this, and he said that he was a giba like Shimshi, and he was very little, so the Scotsman would pick on him first, and they would go to him to grab him. And my father said we had such an inu with him that he was our like our Shimshi. He said one thing he said we knew back then is that nobody had knives or guns, so it was always like a fair fight, you know. But that's how it was getting to school. That was like a regular difficulty just getting to cheder. And if you looked like you were beaten up, nobody asked you a question what happened to you. It was just, you know, it was a bad day. You had a rough morning, but that was it. That's not so long ago. And now, if a kid goes to school and gets off the bus and there's nobody to greet him with a smile, he has to go for therapy. Because there wasn't a person from the school that said, "Good morning, Sarah, how are you today?" So she has to go to therapy for the next 15 years. Yeah.
Some tells me they go to the Yarden, wherever they go, whatever events or whatever place they have to go to. There's a whole chevra. And he says it's completely mekubal. If one of them
Willie? Mekubal?
Mekubal. Not a mekubal, but it's mekubal.
Mekubal.
It's accepted. If one of them says, you know what, because of my anxieties, I can't go to this kind of place. Or because of my anxieties, or girls, whatever, the whole group. I can't go to this.
On a school trip?
No, on whatever trip. This is college. It doesn't make a difference.
Sure.
They want to have whatever friend event they want to have. And one says, two or five will say, I can't go because of this particular anxiety they have. And they all go, oh, okay. And it's completely accepted.
Yeah, look, I hear
that everybody's.
I hear what teachers now, the kids. But they, you know, you have to deal with this. What we're holding now, but you have where there's a kid, you know, will say that, this type of an exam makes me very, very nervous. And the parents speak to him and get a letter from the therapist and. Imagine like just a few years ago telling the teacher, this gets me nervous. I'm nervous. I would like to have seen like what Rav Soloveitchik would have said when he asked us a question to say, I'm sorry, Rabbi, that gets me nervous. In such a short time, things have changed so much, it's unbelievable. But this Indian is real. And it was by this person with the anxiety, I would never ever make fun, chas v'chalilu, when talking to the person. Because these walls, these moats, and these gates in that person's head, they're as real as a physical gate to somebody else. So you have to be on top of this. In other words, our kids now are imagining these moats and these gates. In the past, it was either there was or there wasn't one. But now, in the mind, there are these scary things. There are these impediments and things that make a person nervous and anxious. I don't, you know, with anxiety, with all this stuff, what's going on? Even little kids.
Binyamin is doing well.
What?
Binyamin is doing
well. Yeah, the therapists are making the pronouns. Even little kids, that they have already, they're so nervous and anxious. They're not having just fun and being happy, and life is good. And they're not having a good time.
Well, the physical life is good. The spiritual
that's
life
what I'm
is,
saying.
Is torture.
That's what I'm saying.
These days. That's what it means.
That's what I'm saying. And Jay?
I was just going to say that it's an underestimation in this generation of the strength that the Vanshan gives us to persevere. And then once you go through a really difficult situation, you realize, come out on the other end, that you survived. And not only did you survive, like Ravi's saying, it's the kesher that you have.
Sure, you're much stronger. It's much stronger.
To build a bridge to...
Much stronger. Yeah, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that tomorrow morning, Mr. Shem, a little bit. The Josh had something I was thinking about this morning. You come out much stronger. That's what Ol Shem is saying. So you have, in your head, you have Malachim, and you have Sharim, and you have all this stuff, and all these Hechalas and things. Huh?
Not yet, really. So, I mean, the stat line for the Rebbe Shalom is not so great.
The
stat line.
Stat line?
Statistics line. I mean,
oh.
Avish is not doing so great by those measures. I mean, because if we're
saying losing a lot of cover.
If we're saying that only the Navy SEALs can get.
I know. Okay, so that's what Binyamin is asking. It's. Right.
I mean.
So we see that in the Tefillos of the Tzaddikim, that they're always screaming out, you know, like. Why are you making it so hard for us? And we're losing, you know, we're losing so many. It's part of what the shayfa is. It's part of our respectful way of not complaining but crying out. And
well, what if you don't
and that's
to the
what?
What if you don't even get to the shayfa?
You don't get to the shayfa.
So many don't get to the shayfa. Look around. Rabbi knows better than anyone.
No, what should I? I'm not disagreeing with you. What you're saying should be taken as a tefillah. And I agree with Binyamin. I'm not saying it's not the stat line. That's I never heard that expression. But
Have you done that for that? Is that real?
You do.
Yeah. How do you use that? You say the stat line
it's
is.
Not, it's
oh, you also never heard of it.
No.
He's not. He's always the first.
It's a result. It's a result.
Nice, isn't it?
Result. He's in sports.
That's a question.
Oh, okay. Say that. Then I like it.
The weeding out process in Mitzrayim, where they say 80% didn't make it. Is it the same now? Is it also going to be a small number at the end of time?
Chamusha malu. In the end, it's going to be everybody, Mitzvah Shem. Even the ones that were lost along the way, they're all going to be brought back. That's the consolation. At the end, everybody's going to be brought back. But it feels like that now also. And there are psukim and there are chazals that indicate that it's something similar. I don't want to go into it because it hurts too much to talk about it. Why talk about it? Let's just try our hardest when we get there, Mitzvah Shem. Because Baruch Mestad V'kam Lushim Echidzik Yedush Hashem Ezbaruch Meloi Chalot Kavod V'cholten. Everything is filled with Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. You don't have to go 500 light years someplace to go to. V'chol tnuo machshava, every single movement that a person can't move and can't think. Hakol mi manis baruch, everything is only because of Hashem. Kein kol hamalachim haichalus, all the angels, all the malachim, all the haichalus, all these chambers, these whatever these things are. Hakol nivra v'nase kivyochel me'atzmus yisbaruch, everything is created kivyochel from his very being from Hashem. Kadein kamsa de levushe min eubei, like the snake, the skin is the same as the snake, the outside and the inside, it's all one. Rein shum mechitza mavdu ben hadam ben oizbarach. B'idiyazos. And there is no mechitza at all. Everything is Hashem. There's no mechitza at all because the outside is the same as the inside. And therefore there's no mechitza at all. Outside, what seems to be to us to be outside of Hashem, and the inside of Hashem, it's all one. There is no outside and inside. Everything is the same. It's all Hashem. Ein shum mechitza mavdo ben adam ben yisbar b'yediyazos. When you know this, there's no mechitza. But knowing it, of course, is not enough. It's knowing it in v'hashivoyse el v'avoch, hashivoyse el v'avoch. V'yedeze yisparu kol po'alei oven. But when you know this, like the prince, and you stay focused on this, and you don't let go of this machshava of leis osa ponimine, that there is it's only him, there's nothing else. So then, what happens is yispardu, as it says in pasuk, yispardu kol pale oven. All the evildoers disappear. Yispardu kol pale oven. Father Briskarov, you know that Father Briskarov, let me go back a little bit. In Nefesh HaChaim, Father Briskarov's Alter Zeidi, in Nefesh HaChaim, he brings there what he calls a skula neflo, a wondrous skula. That with this skula, a person can get through anything. Now, when somebody came to the Briskarov, and he said to the Briskarov that he heard that if a person is thinking and concentrating on Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing but Hashem, on those words, and he remains steadfast and focused on those words, that he's able to get through anything. He can get past any sorrow, he can get through anything, if you don't let go of that thought. So the Briskarov said to him, Skula says that's what the Nefesh is, Befeir Nefesh Chaim. Nefesh Chaim says that very clearly. I think it's in the, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the first Shaar, Parag Dalet, I don't remember exactly. The Nefesh Chaim says this. And the Briskarov said, I'm telling you, B'didi Hava Uvda, what happened with me. He said that, the Briskarov said that my son Beryl, Yosef Dov, my son Beryl and I were away from home. But at that time, I think that was, I'm not sure what city they were at that time, but it could be that what they were speaking about was already at the time when they were in Warsaw, but I'm not sure. But we were away, and then the news came that the Germans, Yimach Shemam, had already closed down all the train stations. They already were creeping in, and they closed the train stations, and we didn't know how we wanted to get back to the family, my son and I. And we had to go through a certain place to get to some transportation, I don't know, and the place was infested with Germans, with Nazis. So we spent, the Briskarov said, I spent 3 days with my son, with Beryl, going over this piece of Nefesh HaChaim, chazering over and over and over and over again how to concentrate and not to lose focus on Ein Od Milvado, Ein Od Milvado. And then we held each other and we said, now, and we were the whole time whispering, Ein Od Milvado, Ein Od Milvado. And we walked up to the gate where all the Germans were, and then all of them were just looking. They didn't see us at all. There was one that for a second looked our direction, and I said to Beryl, Beryl, Ein Od Milvado, Ein Od Milvado. He said, I felt that for a second his mind was, he was getting scared. And I went, Ein Od Milvado, and we walked through. That's what he said. He said the place was filled with Nazis. and we walked right through. There's such an idea like that. What this school of the Briskarov was talking, what the Nefesh HaChaim was talking about, that we too, the person could be, a person could be in that place of Ein Od Milvado, and in that place there's no mechitzas, there's no Nazis, there's nothing. Okay, said, who could be in such a place? The Briskarov had to work on it for 3 days. That's what he said. That's what we did for 3 days. We're mizboinein in this inyan of Leis Osa Ponimine Ein Od Milvado for 3 days, him and his son. And they were able to go through. Because the Metzius is Ein Shum Mechitza Ma'avdu Ben Ha'odno Ben Yisbarach B'Yidi Yisoyis Ha'idei Zeh Yisfardu Ko Poliyof, and all the Germans go away.
By the way, your father's like this. I asked him, how did you put on tefillin in the middle of the barracks? He says, oh, they didn't care about us. They didn't see us.
They didn't see us. Yeah, anybody that put on tefillin, if you get caught, they kill you.
But your father said, no, they didn't really care, he told me.
Yeah, they didn't care.
They didn't see us.
They used to, my father told me that the way that they did it was that they used to, he would give us tefillin and they would stand in like a big crowd around the person who was putting on tefillin. Each person had to put on it very quickly, put on, take it off, put on, take it off. Just to try to say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. But there were Germans all over the place. there were Germans all over the place. Towards the very end, when it was winding down, so then they just didn't bother with them. They let them just sit. They didn't give them anything to eat, but they didn't bother with them. They just sat there all day at the end. But before that, they were watching them all the time. Every second, you were being watched. You couldn't do anything. But somehow they managed. But at the end, Yisparadu kol palei ohel. That all the things that seem to be in the way, they disappear. They go away. They go away.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.